In the immediate aftermath of the mass closures and stay-at-home advisories due to the global pandemic, it felt like all companies wanted us to know one thing.
We know our community is facing challenges during these difficult times.
When you need us,
we're here for you.
Especially now.
And in all the better days ahead.
Together.
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 The Associations of National Advertisers found over 90% of marketers adjusted their message since the pandemic began. But what messages are really resonating, and should brands be pushing products at all during this time? Joining me now is Kelly Fredrickson, the president of the ad agency Mullen Lowe. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kelly.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Also with us is WBUR's senior media analyst and a former ad man himself, John Carroll. Welcome back, John.
Thanks. I prefer reformed ad man, but that's okay.
I'll remember that for next time. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Have you seen any ads that really spoke to you or that you felt were inappropriate and didn't speak to you? How do you think companies should acknowledge this crisis, and what will they have to say in order to get you back to their product, their restaurant, their store, their Uber? Are advertisers in sync with you, or are they out of sync right now? Call us. Let us know what you think. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So the phrase that sticks in my head is now more than ever. Every single product is here for us now more than ever. What is going on with that, John?
Well, you know, it's a high wire act, right? You want to be out there. You want to have your brand have some share of voice during this time, but you don't want to seem to exploit the situation. There was a study recently that said 75% of people said, you know, brands should not exploit the health crisis, but only 8% said they shouldn't advertise at all. So what you want to do is try to at least keep some presence on the public radar without seeming to, without sort of a jarring sense of opportunism during a very trying time.
And Kelly, it seems like it's kind of a narrow lane. We noted that Steve Conley, who runs Conley Partners in the South End, told The Globe that everybody's doing the same kind of stuff. And that does seem to be the case. Is that a good thing or bad thing for companies? As, you know, you're someone who works with various brands.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, the rule is like know your audience and know yourself, right? If you're a brand. And I think that we were all sort of in this stage of comprehending the virus when it first came and what did it mean? And then, you know, as we started to understand it, we were all sort of grappling with the sadness of, you know, losing connection with people. And so, you know, brands really wanted to let you know that, you know, they're still here to help you solve problems. I think the problem was that everybody just said the same thing. And we're seeing now as we go into May, and everybody's getting their coronavirus information from the news, that, you know, 26% of the social commentary on COVID is actually very lighthearted now. People are sort of sick of brands talking about being here for them, and they want to hear what are brands doing for them. So it's definitely shifting. And I think, like you said, it's a narrow line and you just have to stay attuned and engage in the moments with your consumers, you know, which is, you know, that's a hard thing for brands to do on a continuous basis, but it's necessary.
Let's take our first call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, to pull up a chair at the table about advertising in the era of the coronavirus. We've got Ryan on the line from Lincoln. Ryan, you are on with John and Kelly.
Hi there, and thanks for taking my call. I think, you know, one of the ads that really stands out for me, which is really very poignant, is CNN's ad, which talks about the need for us to focus on facts and focus on the real truth. And they actually interspersed that ad with all of the, you know, the hyperbole and the lies coming from Washington. I just thought that was a very powerful message, and I hope the American people take it to heart.
Thanks for that call, Ryan. I invite either of you to respond to Ryan's comment there.
One of the really hard things right now for news organizations is that people, that advertisers don't want to be around the kind of coverage that people are gravitating toward. They don't want to be associated with coronavirus coverage. And it's really hurting a lot of news organizations. CNN is one of them that's being affected. There's a lot of, Kelly can talk to the sort of online ad buying and the number of marketers who do not want their ads attached to any kind of pandemic coverage at all. The New York Times had a piece the other day saying basically news outlets have lost about $1 billion in advertising because of blacklisting of online ads.
Blacklisting, yeah, meaning there are certain terms that they don't want their ads. Yeah, Kelly, enlighten us on that.
Well, I just wanted to point out that I think what Ryan is noticing about CNN is that, you know, part of CNN's brand promise is facts and truth, you know? And so I think that that ad was exactly what they should have done, because that is who they want the consumers of CNN to know them for. And so I think it was the smart right ad for CNN to put out. In terms of like sort of online advertising, the digital video, digital streaming, social and search, all of that is up. That is where people are going for their news. And it's where people are engaging. You know, Facebook and Instagram, you know, were thought of pre-crisis as places to isolate, as you discussed with the previous guest you had on. But now people are looking to those platforms for meaningful connection because they can't be with their people. So they're reaching social media, reaching out to social media to connect with people. So I think that what we're seeing is, yes, brands want to be in the right place, but digital media is the place to be right now.
Let's take another call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Mark from Roxbury, you are on the line with both our panelists. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. I have kind of a question and a statement. The question was, my girlfriend and I talk about this a lot, and one thing I suggested was that advertising time is probably paid for in advance a lot of the time, so companies may need to adjust, like they had to change their ads so that it didn't seem tasteless. So that's why they kind of came up with coronavirus ads, and they weren't they didn't have any choice but to run ads no matter what.
Correct.
Is that a thing?
Correct. Yeah. There's a lot of ad buying that's done at something called the New Fronts, where people, you know, chief marketing officers and their agencies together will plan for the year. And, you know, and they can get great sort of better rates if they plan that far in advance. So the caller is absolutely right. There was a lot of media that had already been purchased and needed to be used. Now CMOs, chief marketing officers, have to look at things in 2-week increments, because as I described before, you know, what we were feeling in March was different from what we were feeling in April. And again, it's different now here in May. So looking at it, the advertising that had been purchased, they had to use. And so they quickly looked at what kind of a message can I get out there that's tonally right for this time and still representative of my brand.
Yeah, Mark's
so
right
John,
about
I
the,
heard. Yeah, go ahead.
Mark's right about the advertisers sort of having to switch. A number of them in the early phases of the pandemic realized that their ads were completely inappropriate. So Geico had an ad with people high-fiving. That came down. Kentucky Fried Chicken ceased to be finger licking good because that wasn't working at the time. You know, beer companies had to take down any ad that had a crowded bar scene. So the part mm-hmm. of it was just the practical nature of it. The other part of it was trying to be, as Kelly said, in sync with the situation on the ground.
So I want to talk about some of what's... Oh, Kelly, go ahead.
No, that's okay. Sorry.
Well, I want to talk about some of what's worked. We're out of sync, yeah. Kelly. Sorry about that. Go ahead and make your point, and then I'll make a pivot. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to follow up with that. You know, one of our clients, Royal Caribbean, had a lot of outdoor in New York that we had paid for. And, you know, to pull out of that wasn't something that we could do. So instead, what they did was they donated that advertising space. And so that's what a lot of marketers did as well. Rather than change their message, they donated it to nonprofits so they could get their message out. That was another tactic that some brands took.
There have been some advertisers who, it seems, have done a pretty good job of changing their messaging and finding the zeitgeist. Burger King is an example. You know, they directly acknowledge the crisis in a series of spots that a lot of people seem to have enjoyed, gotten a lot of praise for it. Let's listen to that.
Your country needs you to stay on your couch and order in. Do your part and we'll do ours. Order through the Burger King app and the delivery fees are on us. So staying home doesn't just make us all safer. It makes you a couch patriot.
So, John, I admit couch patriot makes me laugh. Yeah, what sure. works about that? And what does it tell us about how companies should engage with such a tricky subject like the coronavirus crisis?
Well, I think it says humor helps. Humor that's you know, basically targeted in a way that that sort of mocks the conventions of advertising. So that's the ad is kind of a meta ad because it's taking this format that is used in other situations and adapting it to this one. So you know, I think it is clever and it uses a familiar sort of template to turn the expectations on their head. So I think, you know, it's smart, it's self-aware, and it's sort of collaborative. It brings the consumer in on the joke.
Listeners, what has resonated with you? And are you like me? Like at first I thought, ooh, that's out of sync. They better get a coronavirus ad. And now I don't want to see another coronavirus ad. Where are you in this? And how is it affecting how you think about your purchasing? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Kelly, I know you are a fan, and I'd want to place the sound here in a second on it. I know you were a fan of a Guinness ad. Right after St. Patrick's Day, they released a spot that said, you know, we don't need large parades and the other things we usually do to celebrate the holiday. Let's listen to that.
Guinness has been around for 260 years, and we've been lucky to be a part of your St. Patrick's Day for generations. While we know this year things feel different, we've learned over time that we're pretty tough when we stick together. So what do you really need for some St. Paddy's Day cheer? A pint? Sure, we'll take one. Some corned beef? Yeah, if you're offering. Irish music? We'll sing along. A big parade? Don't worry, we'll march again.
So, Kelly, why did you think that worked? What about that, you know, for the uninitiated ears, what works so well about that?
Well, I mean, not only that I'm Irish, right? Fredrickson is my married name, but I'm betraying my heritage. So I what I love about that ad is the optimism, right? And the sheer enjoyment. Like they're taking a moment, St. Patrick's Day, which is celebrated by lots and lots of people, regardless of heritage. And it's like, what do you need? You need a pint and to celebrate, and we will march again. I mean, that just speaks straight to the human spirit. We are a resilient species. And so it just spoke to me. It was one of the first ads I saw out there that acknowledged what we were all going through without saying that we were in it together.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Renee's on the line from Lincoln. Renee, what's on your mind?
Yes, I have received most all of the marketing pointed at the consumer right now is pretty tasteless. With all the people out there that aren't getting a paycheck and are finding times very, very hard right now, I think that I would have liked to have seen companies come out and tell me how they're taking care of their employees more than anything. Whether it would be pay time off or other kind of benefits. And that's pretty much all I want to say. Thank you.
Thanks for that, Renee. John Carroll, what about that? And how do you sell when people can't buy? And how do you not look callous and yet keep your own company alive?
Well, it's a really good point. And you know, there are situations now where I don't want to say hypocrisy, let's say duplicity. Walmart, for instance, you know, started out running an ad about its employees being heroes. Walmart is notoriously bad at taking care of its employees, and reports have come out that they've been holding back on safety equipment. They've been holding back on paid leave. You know, some of these things really can be counterproductive if people are following the news, things that are out of sync. So just one other quick example. On Sunday, the Boston Globe had a 24-page special section, a salute to nurses, filled with ads from hospitals and healthcare workers. At the same time, on the op-ed page, there was a piece by a nurse with the headline, "Hospital Leaders More Frightening Than COVID-19, talking about how, you know, basically the administrators are not taking care of nurses, they're passing the buck. You know, when your advertising conflicts with reality, that's when you really have a problem with it backfiring on you.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, how do you guide a brand then?
Well, I think what we talk about with our clients a lot is, you know, actions over advertising. That, you know, the way that a brand behaves, the way that a brand shows up in someone's life is as important as the way a brand talks about it. You know, you can assist, you can unite, or you can delight with your marketing. You know, you can assist by sort of like relieving a burden or adding value to a customer's life. You can unite by sort of offering a sense of belonging and camaraderie, or you can delight just by, you know, offering a moment of joy. One of our clients, Humana, has, you know, that one of the social determinants of good health for seniors is combating isolation. And they have these neighborhood centers where seniors go and they get to take cooking classes and they learn how to do things and they connect with each other. And in the coronavirus, because of the stay-at-home orders, those neighborhood centers couldn't be populated. So we helped them create a place on Facebook for those seniors to connect. And they're not talking about it, they're just doing it. So I think that's the way that we guide our brands is, you know, what are you doing for your consumers? I understand the caller's sort of dismay, and that's how we talk to our clients. Like, let's talk about what you can do for your consumers. You've got to do something for them, because a lost customer today could be a lost customer forever. So how you show up in their life right now is super important.
Well, this is going to be interesting to continue to watch. That's Kelly Fredrickson, the president of the ad agency MullenLowe. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And WBUR senior media analyst and former reformed ad man, John Carroll. Great to hear your voice, John. Thanks.
Thank you.